want you to find your place in Ephesians chapter 6. It'll take me a little while to get there, but I'm giving you part two to a message that I began this morning entitled, The Stronghold of Jealousy. The Stronghold of Jealousy. I have preached a series of messages on Satan's strongholds, and I did this a while ago, and the Lord has laid on my heart for my next topical series is just to continue with that particular series. I was thinking about preaching on Bible animals. But the Lord's put a hold on that thinking, and He wants me just to focus on these strongholds. Just different things that the devil tries to use to bring even God's child into spiritual bondage. And we began looking at this particular stronghold this morning, the stronghold of jealousy. You're going to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me just give you the verse that I gave you this morning. Song of Solomon 8, verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. And we're preaching on the stronghold of jealousy. This is part number two. Father, we love you. Help us now, I pray. May the will of God be done, I ask. Speak to our hearts, challenge us, help us to live in victory over this stronghold, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just give the introduction here and then we'll proceed. Strongholds have been identified as carnal cities. They've been identified as fleshly fortresses. They war against the Spirit and seek to hold us in bondage. Now these strongholds can get a very tight grip upon us, even to the point that we feel there's no way of escape. Now if these strongholds are not broken, they have the potential to hold even a child of God who's been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ in spiritual bondage. Now one of these strongholds the devil tries to use against us is the stronghold of jealousy. Now, I'm not going to give the whole introduction here. Let me just say this to you. Jealousy is simply a revelation in our own mind that we are not satisfied with what God has given us. This being the case, it makes it very demonic, makes it very fleshly, makes it very carnal. As a matter of fact, I preached the whole sermon this morning just showing the bad side of this kind of jealousy. As a matter of fact, we gave you four things this morning. Let me just tap it on the head. We're going to point five tonight. First of all, we notice the commentary on jealousy and how God condemns it in His Word. Secondly, we notice the cases of jealousy, the different Bible examples of it. Number three, we notice the cause of jealousy. The cause is basically because our eyes have been taken off the Lord and upon ourselves. Number four, the consequences of jealousy, and that is confusion in every evil work. Now we've come tonight to the final point of this particular stronghold, and that is number five, the cure for jealousy. What is the cure? Now we've attempted this morning to bring out truths about jealousy to the point that nobody in their right mind would think it's all right to be jealous of anybody else. We should all agree that this kind of jealousy is ungodly, devilish, carnal, and should be avoided at all cost. The Word of God teaches all of this. But a logical question for one who is jealous would be something like this. How can I live in victory over this stronghold? In other words, how can one stay out of this carnal city of jealousy? How can one not enter the fleshly fortress of jealousy? Now the following is a five-step plan I'm going to give you. And in this, whenever you catch yourself being jealous, by the way, one of the hardest things to do is admit that you are jealous. And I remind you that every person has a tendency, that doesn't mean every person is jealous, but every person has a tendency to become jealous. It manifests itself in covetousness. It manifests itself in wishing I had that. Why didn't that happen to me? Why couldn't that happen to me? Now, if it's a godly desire where you're not jealous of that person, but you admire that person, and you say, boy, I'd like to have what they have, and it's a good thing, that there's nothing wrong with that. What I'm talking about is something that God has blessed them, and you wish it was you instead. And by doing that, you see and you really indict the character of God. I preached on all that this morning, but it's really an indictment on the character of God, because what you're telling Him is that you're not truly satisfied with what He's chosen to give you. Now, this is the case. Every now and then, whether it's jealousy, whether it's lust, whether it's doubt, whether it's fear, I don't know what it is, whether it's worry, this same five-step plan is going to apply to any stronghold that comes in your that basically comes into your life. So the more I preach on these strongholds, the more you're going to hear the same thing over and over again. Because I like it that God has laid a plan out in Scripture that no matter what we deal with, it works every single time. Aren't you glad it's that way, friends? I mean, aren't you glad that God didn't put it out well enough? If it's jealousy, you need to do this. And if it's worry, you need to do this. And if it's this, and you need to do that. Because folks, if we had that, we'd have to have a long sheet. Okay, I'm dealing with number four. Number four equals I've got to do that now. You see, it doesn't work that way. God has laid out a strategy in His Word that helps us live in victory over our strongholds. What am I saying? I'm saying sometimes, even when you're walking with God, you have faults hit your mind, strongholds try to take you into its grasp, and you think to yourself, I'm walking with God, I don't want this, where's this coming from? It comes from our flesh. It comes from Satan. He wants to hold you captive. He doesn't want you to do anything for God. So he's trying to bring you in to one of his carnal cities, one of his fleshly fortresses. He's bringing a stronghold in to try to hold you down so God cannot use you the way he wants to. So here's what I'm giving you tonight. How can you live in victory over this stronghold? Let me give you five things. They all start with C. Number one, when you catch yourself dealing with jealousy, really dealing with anything, but specifically jealousy here, number one, confess it. Confess it. The Word of God says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. The point here is this. There are so many people today who are just too proud to admit they have a problem. They're too proud to admit it. And if the Lord, now get this. If the Lord reveals, by the way, the Lord has to reveal it to you. Because the flesh that's jealous thinks it's not. Did you hear what I just said? The flesh that's truly jealous will try to tell you it's not. Try to make you think you deserve it, everything else. You know one of the hardest things to get people to do, human beings to do, starting right here and working all the way through this auditorium? Just get honest with God. Just say it the way it is. Put it out there just like God reveals it. And I'm telling you that if God reveals to you that you're jealous of somebody or something, don't try to cover it up, friends. He already knows. He's the one that revealed it to you. Now think about that statement. When you try to cover something, really you're trying to cover it from God, and God's the one that reveals it to you in the first place. God's the one that says, you've got a problem here. So the first thing I'm telling you here, number one, confess it. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to ignore it and say, well, no, it's not really that bad. No, just get honest with God and say, God, I'm guilty. I am wrong. Confess your jealousy. Number two, crave God's Word. Crave God's Word. Boy, I got this from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. Listen to this. Verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, there it is, jealousy, and all evil speakings. In other words, laying aside those things. Put them off. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Well, the Lord showed me something there. He showed me that I focused my attention on verse 2 most of my life. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. But in context, it's giving in reference to putting off envy. How do you put off envy? How do you put off evil speakings? How do you put off all these things? How do you get rid of it? As a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You know what that word desire means? It means to crave it. Crave it. You ladies who have children, some of them are grown, some of them are not. But I want you to go back in your mind's eye to when you first brought your baby home. Feeding milk, The baby, when the baby's healthy, the baby will let you know when it's milk time. Amen. I mean, they'll scream their little heads off. And as we grow older, we kind of have the tendency to do the same thing. But it's not give me milk, it's give me Big Macs. You know what I'm saying? All these kind of things. By the way, I've not had a Big Mac in a long time, so don't think that's what my problem is. Hey, if I do have a heart problem, it formed in the womb, okay? It's not the Big Macs that I love to eat. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that just like God says, just like a newborn baby desires milk, craves it, screams for it, wants it bad. He said that's how God's children should be with the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you could not wait to get to your Bible reading? When's the last time that you craved this book so much that you just hardly couldn't eat because you was thinking about what does God want to say to me today? Are you truly craving the Word of God? I'm not asking are you reading it. I'm asking are you craving it? Are you desiring it like a newborn baby desires milk? Because see, if you truly crave it, you will read it. You understand what I'm saying? You truly crave it, you are going to memorize it. You are going to meditate on it. You are going to obey it if you truly crave the Word of God. Let me say this to you. You and I will not live in victory over a stronghold, whether it's jealousy or anything else. We will not live in victory over a stronghold apart from a steady diet of the Word of the living God. It will not happen. It will not happen. See, even though these strongholds are carnal, fleshly in nature, they cannot be defeated by our flesh. Because the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, you're in Ephesians chapter 6. Let me show you something here. This is not new for the church, because if you have heard my message on the tempter, I'm just bringing something out here that I brought out in that particular sermon. But Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse number 11, you see here that this is the story. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That word wiles means the methods or the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Starts talking about verse number 13, "Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Notice verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now again, if you've been here any stretch of time and you've heard me preach this, this is nothing new. But this is something that'll change your life. And it's something that you need to be reminded of, and I need to be reminded of basically on a daily basis. I've been living this week. What I mean by that is the battle for the mind. And he's tempting me. He's tempting me, trying to get me to dwell on things that's not true, that's and all these kind of things. And I've had to live what I'm preaching tonight. I've had to live it. And I'm telling you, it works. It really does work. It really does. It works. And let me say what I'm telling here. In Ephesians 6, verses 11 to 17, talking about put on the whole armor of God so you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Word of God says, take your offensive weapon. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this word here in the original language, in the Greek language of the New Testament here, it's the word rhema. Let me explain. In the Word of God, anytime the word is used in reference to the Bible, the Word of God in reference to God's Word, it's either one of two words. It's the word logos, which means the entire Bible, all of it. Or it's the word rhema, which means individual parts of it. It's interesting in this text talking about fighting against the wiles of the devil that the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, inspired every word of Scripture. It's verbally, plenary, inspired. He inspired every single solitary word of the Word of God. Every word. and he inspired to put the word rhema right there. Don't use the word logos. Interesting, isn't it? Because see, here's what he's saying. Some people have the mistaken idea that when they deal with jealousy or deal with any stronghold, but especially jealousy is what we're dwelling on here. He's saying when you deal with that and you're warring against principalities and powers, the sword of the Spirit is not the whole book. It's individual parts of it. What's that mean? See, some people have the mistaken idea that all they've got to do is take their Bible, dust it off, put it on a coffee table, and the devil will leave them alone. And I've got news for you. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. I'm telling you that the individual parts of the Bible, could that be Bible stories, Bible verses? Could it be, friends? And may I remind you that the Lord himself in Matthew chapter 4, go back and get my message on the tempter. I preached the whole message on it. But in Matthew chapter 4, the devil tempted him three times with three specific temptations. And every time he quoted scripture from the book of Deuteronomy and quoted a verse that dealt with that specific temptation. The devil said, command that these stones be made bread. He said, it is written, Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I like carrying my Bible around while I'm preaching here. He tempted him to commit suicide. He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you this. And he said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. May I tell you that if the Lord took a verse, an individual part of the Bible that dealt with that temptation and stuck the devil, that how much more should we do the same, friends? Can I remind you that strongholds are items in the Word of God that God speaks about? Can I remind you that God speaks in different places about jealousy? And may I show you how this works? You hide God's word in your heart, but a key phrase in Matthew chapter 4, talking about the battle between Jesus and Satan there, the Bible says he was led of the Spirit at this time. You know what that tells me? It means his heart was right with God. I am not preaching tonight. You can do your own thing, go your own places, not read the Bible, just do your own thing, and then when temptation hits you, just quote a verse, he'll give you victory. Doesn't work that way, friends. What I'm saying to you is when your heart's right with God, you're living in subjection to Jesus Christ. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You cannot resist without submitting first. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And I'm telling you that when you're submitting to God, the devil will still bombard your mind. Can I get an amen, please, right there? Even if your heart is as right as you know it can be, every now and then you'll have a thought go through your mind. You think to yourself, where in the world did that come from? Why am I thinking that? Where is that coming from? And all I'm saying, it can be jealousy. That's what we're exposing tonight. And when those things happen, at that moment, as a Spirit-filled believer, learn to quote scriptures that deal with jealousy. Quote them out loud, because the devil cannot hear your thoughts. And whenever he's tempting you with jealousy, boy, I wish I had that. Good night, I wish I had that. God says you're jealous at that moment, and you're battling. You don't want to, you're just battling. At that moment, say, jealousy is cruel as the grave. Who can stand before envy? Jealousy is the rottenness of the bones. On and on and on, you're quoting scripture. And before you know it, you're craving the Word of God. And the Word of God is being pumped in. And when the Word of God's being pumped in, the jealousy's being pumped out. That's how it works, friends. That's how it works. I'm telling you that the devil will not leave you alone because he doesn't have anything better to do, friends. He will leave you alone when you force him to leave. You must stick him with the sword of the Spirit. You know what I've learned about the devil? He's a coward. Amen. He's a coward. Now let me say this to you. I'm saying that hopefully in the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. I'm no match for him. In my flesh, he will defeat me every single time. I am no match for the devil. And may I remind you, like I told the teenagers tonight, if the devil walked in here tonight, you would not recognize him. He would not have horns coming out of his head. He would not have a pitchfork. He would not be red. And he would not have a tail coming out. He'd be the most beautiful thing your eyes have ever laid themselves upon. He is a deceiver. He's a father of lies. And friends, I'm telling you, the Bible calls him an angel of light. If you saw him where he is now, you would think that you've never seen anything like that before. And the whole time, he's trying to bring you into bondage. He's trying to deceive you. He's trying to lie to you. He's trying to get you jealous of other people. He's trying to say you deserve this. Why hadn't God given you that? I'm telling you, when that happens, he will not leave until you make him leave. And the only way you make him leave is not by believing in yourself. It's not by saying, I'll never think about that again. Try that approach and see if it helps. Try the approach of, I'll never do that again. Try it and see if it helps. Try it. You cannot have victory that way. You can only have victory when you're led of the Spirit of God. And then when those thoughts bombard your mind, learn the Word of God, crave the Bible, and start quoting those scriptures out loud. And he sticks his tail between his legs, even though he doesn't have one, and he takes off. That's exactly what he does. He cannot stand to be stuck with the sword of the Spirit. But the interesting thing about Matthew chapter 4 is the Bible said after all of this, the devil leaveth him. But in Luke chapter 4, the parallel passage, it says the devil leaveth him for a season. You know what that means? That means he came back. You may be living in victory tonight, but you better watch out, friends, because his battle is relentless. I'm telling you, number two, good night, that's just number two. Glory, I got to put the pedal to the metal here. I've already brought out a little bit of number three anyway, but number two, crave God's word. That means this: you cannot live in victory over jealousy or any other stronghold. But specifically tonight, jealousy, you cannot live in victory over it if you're not living in the Word of God. It's impossible. You cannot have it. Number three, conform to the Spirit. Conform to the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. There it is again, friends, it's all over the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God says this: if you don't want to envy one another, walk in the Spirit. We who are God's children are to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's direction for our lives. We are not to live this life under our own direction, our own guidance, but rather we are to conform to the Spirit of God telling us and desiring us, telling us basically what He wants us to be and what He desires for us to be. What I mean by conforming to the Spirit, I'm talking about living under His control, being filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Interesting that the Word of God likens being filled with the Spirit right beside of being drunk with wine. Now that's not blasphemous, but he's showing us what it means to be filled with the Spirit. When somebody's drunk with wine, they're under the foreign substance control. Amen. That means they're doing things that tomorrow they may not even know what they did. Their body is functioning because of the alcohol content in their bloodstream. It's causing them to do certain things, say certain things, go certain places, hang out with certain people. They are under the control of it. God says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What's it mean? It's not something spooky. It's not something like it reveals itself in speaking in tongues. I had a man out on visitation said, you'll never make it to heaven without the Spirit of God. I said, I've already got him, sir. He said, you speaking in tongues then? I left at that moment. It was good that I left because my blood was starting to boil. The last I checked the Word of God, this is a side note, the Word of God says that when the Word of God was fulfilled, that sign was done away with. Amen, friends. Were tongues, why in the world am I speaking about tongues tonight? Forget it, that's another sermon. Get me back on jealousy. I'm simply saying this to you. God is showing us what being Spirit-filled is. It's not speaking in tongues. It's not falling down and barking like a dog. It's not being out of control. It's not tearing clothes off. Amen, friends. It's none of that. You know what being filled with the Spirit is? Coming under His control. It means if He says don't go there, you don't go there. It means if He says do that, you do it. It means you say yes, sir, to whatever He tells you to do, and yes, sir, to whatever He tells you not to do. You are submitted to Him. It's like this. I think this is Tom Farrell's illustration. I preach most of his sermons. I know, I'm just kidding with you there. But he gave an illustration, I think it was him, about a batter's glove. I can relate to this because I played a lot of baseball. He's showing what being filled with the Spirit means. He said, you take a batter's glove or a worker's glove, whatever, just a glove with five fingers in it and lay it up here. He said, if it's laying there by itself, you can tell it all day long. Come over here to me. It's not coming. It has no power in itself. But he said, if you take your hand and fill it up, you fill it up, you put it on. Now it does what you do. If you make a fist, it makes a fist. You point, it points. It's under the control of what's filled it up. The Word of God says that without me, you can do nothing. Which means that we're laying here like an empty glove. Are you listening to me? You cannot defeat a fleshly fortress by yourself because there's no life in you, friends. We're nothing. I know we don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. But when the Spirit of God fills us up and now we're doing what He does, we're going where He wants us to go. If He points, we point. If He makes a fist, we make a fist. We're living in subjection to Him. I'm telling you, that's how God said, that's if you do that, you're not going to be envying one another. That's what it says. That's what it says. Number four here. So number one, confess your jealousy. Don't try to cover it up. Crave God's Word and use the Word of God in a specific form. By the way, Brother Bob has put this in a half sheet. We don't have enough of these tonight, but these are the scriptures to use against the tempter. I've given these out before, but this is front and back. And he's made it half sheet so you can just stick it right in your Bible. It's got different topics on it. It's not exhaustive, but these are different topics and verses that deal with those specific topics. Get a copy of this. Some of these are out on the Welcome Center. We'll get some more out there and so on. But get a copy of this. Write these verses down, and basically whatever you're dealing with. And then when the devil tries to bring that carnal city in your mind, that stronghold bringing into bondage, you're filled with the power of God, you're trying to submit to Him, you're reading the Bible, and then you get this sheet out and start quoting it out loud. I'm telling you, friends, listen to me, you're going to live in victory. It's going to happen. I'm just telling you. You know what I've learned in my own life? If the devil is winning the victory in my mind, it's because I've not been quoting Scripture the way that I should. That's a fact. Either I'm not walking with God, or I'm walking with God, but He's wearing me down so much that I'm not quoting Scripture. But when I'm walking with God and I'm quoting Scripture, He's nowhere to be found, friends. I'm just telling you the truth here. And He's there for a moment, but then before you know it, the peace of God floods over your heart and soul, and you're like, good night, I feel good right here. Only God can do that. So get a copy of that. Conform to the Spirit. Obey what He says. Number four, call on God for help. Just as one cannot live in victory over strongholds without the Word of God, one cannot live in victory over strongholds without a solid prayer life. Prayer is dependence on God. That's what it is. One who does not pray is making a statement that they feel they do not need the Lord. That's what it is. And if you're struggling with jealousy, get on your face before God and beg Him to take it away from you. Now, He makes you work for it. That's where the Word of God comes in. That's where being Spirit-filled comes in. In other words, He doesn't just say, well, just pray about it, but just do your own thing, and I'll get it. It doesn't work that way, friends. It takes all of this. You understand what I'm saying to you? You've got to confess it. You've got to get honest. You've got to come clean. You've got to have the Word of God in your life. You've got to submit to the Holy Spirit, and go where He wants you to go. Be filled with His power, and get on your face and beg Him to help you with it. I'm telling you, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. What that word Selah means, it means stop and think about that a while. Number five. This is really exposing jealousy again, but this is another way to combat against it. Confess jealousy, crave the Word of God, conform to the Spirit's guidance, leadership. In other words, be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't only just read what He says, do what He says, in other words. Call upon God for His help. And five, consider God's goodness to you. You know, as we've said before, jealousy is a confession. If you're jealous, it's a confession that one is not pleased with what God has done for him. That's what it is. It's saying to God, it's not enough. That's jealousy. And you can agree when I say this, this is ridiculous. And in my opinion, it's bordering on blasphemy. It really is. Would you ever point your finger at God's face and say, I'm not satisfied with what you've done? Would you ever point at Him and say, it's just not enough? Would you ever say that? Nobody here would. Amen, friends? But when we get jealous, that's exactly what we're doing. So what's one of the secrets? When you have that jealous thought hit you, yes, confess it to God. Yes, crave the Word of God and stick the devil specifically with verses that deal with it. Yes, submit to God and live in obedience to the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled with His Spirit. Yes, get on your face and beg God to take it away from you. And then force yourself to think about how good He really has been to you. Friends, God has been good. All we've got to do is look at Calvary. How could He add anything more to Calvary? He did that for you. How much He loves us. How good He's been to us. If He took me out of here tonight, I'd have to look up and say, God, You've been real good to me. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Psalm 119:68, Thou art good, and do us good. One preacher put it this way. When your eyes are set on Jesus, you will not be concerned about who is getting ahead or who is lagging behind. Let me say that again. When your eyes are set on Jesus, you will not be concerned about who is getting ahead or who is lagging behind. The stronghold of jealousy can grab a hold of you before you even know it. It really can. Realize that absolutely nothing good and nothing godly comes from jealousy. It is a devilish attack on you, and it needs to be rejected. However, we can only live in victory over it with this five-step plan here by turning this battle over to the Lord. Confess it to the Lord. Crave God's Word. There's a common theme here, friends. Conform to God's Spirit. Call upon God to help you. Consider how good God's been to you. God, and only God can bring victory over strongholds. Only God. And I cry out as David cried out when he stood before that giant Goliath in the valley of Elah. And that giant said, come to me and I'll feed you to the birds and beast. And David looked up at him and said, you come to me and with swords and spears and staves, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he said, the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. And I'm simply telling you that these strongholds that try to grab us, these strongholds that try to grab us by the neck and strangle us, keep us from doing anything for God, the answer to it is not fighting them in our flesh, not believing in ourselves. The answer is saying, wait a minute, that's a reality. I can't ignore it. I'm battling it. God, am I right with you? God, is my heart clean before you? God, am I reading your word? Am I meditating on scripture? Am I quoting scripture the way that you did? Am I filled with your spirit? God, help me with this stronghold. God, help me see how good you've been to me. It all battles with strongholds in reality are battles with the Lord. Do you understand what I mean by that? Do you get that? It's not, how do I get victory over this? That's so frustrating. You ever been there? Why am I doing that again? Where is that coming from? Don't see it as a battle against that. See it as an opportunity to give God a chance. And if you do it His way, it's like David said this. His sin, him, God, his sin said, come to me and I'll feed you the birds and beasts. And by the way, he would have in David's flesh. He just stepped on him. You know what David said? I'll let him do it. See if you can talk to him that way. I'm going to give this battle to God. See, I'm no match for my sin. You understand? But my sin's no match for my God. So I have to put God in between me and my sin. And when you do that, your life's not going to be a bed of roses. You're still going to struggle. You're still in the flesh. You're still going to fall down every now and then. You're still going to get hit upside the head every now and then. But get up and dust yourself off and crave the Word of God. Confess it to God. Call to Him. Call to Him for His help. Conform to what His Spirit's telling you to do. And consider how good He's been to you. And I promise you, it's a guaranteed fact. It's a guarantee. There's not a lot of guarantees in life. Do you know that? Here's a guarantee. You let God fight your battle, and you've already won it. Amen. But you try to fight it, and you'll be so frustrated that you won't know what to do. Give it to God. God will give you victory. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. I pray you'll help us with this. Help us to see this. And help people to really get victory over this. The stronghold of jealousy. Father, take the thoughts now and use them, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Now I want to ask you these questions tonight. Number one, are you really 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Have you truly trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone? Are you born again? Question number two, are you battling jealousy? I know I preached on jealousy tonight, and I'm specifically asking that, but you know the Lord might even take these thoughts and say, you know, it's not jealousy with you, it's this. But this same five-step plan that He gave tonight will work with that also. May the Lord help you with this. Take these five steps. Put them into practice. God will give you victory. He'll give you victory. You may have to do it every day of your life, but He'll give you victory. You may have to do it many times in that day, but He'll give you victory. Just keep giving Him the battle. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray. As Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to you, would you come?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled?
These thoughts will help you tonight.
No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free.
heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me go ahead and dismiss all the parents and children of those who are going to the junior camp meeting. I'll be there momentarily. All the parents and kids, please, if you'll make your way. I have a couple men who need to see me right afterwards. Just stay around. I will not be long in there, and I'll come back in here and meet with you. So you hang around and so on. I'll be right back momentarily, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I pray that you'll bless now. Bless these meetings. Bless the cancer ministry meeting that's going to be taking place. Encourage them. Use them. This junior camp meeting. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Before I say amen, let me go ahead and dismiss all the cancer ministry as well. If you're going to the cancer ministry meeting, let me give you just a head start. And as soon as they get started here, you can be dismissed, okay? Thank you, folks, for coming tonight. I'll be right back in here if you need to see me, okay?